Welcome to the Saturday Set season finale. Just about done for the year, King Zone.
These Christmas parties are starting to wear me down. They're getting the better of me.
Fizz, how are you, mate?
I'm good.
Ready for one last go? The last dance.
Happy days. Excellent.
Christmas Day for you, Fitz.
Nearly.
Christmas Eve.
Feels like it now.
Let's get into it. So it's all about Queensland. The Queensland Summer Carnival cranks right up. We've got three feature races to look at. We're going to go and look at the Grand Prix. I always like this race each year. See if your emerging stayers come out. 1,800-metre race for three-year-olds. I'm going to go and have a look at John Dory, last start at Doomben, of course, from the Waller Yard. So there's John Dory trying to go the lead, and you think he's going to kick away and win. But Nightline says not today and goes past to win. Now, boys, when I was doing a little bit of work on this race, I was just a bit confused as to why John Dory is so short. So there's John Dory, $3. And then you look at Nightline, $10. Why? I mean, yes, Waller. Yes, Waller. But is it that big a discrepancy?
Firstly, how good's a crumb John Dory?
Delicious. I had some last night.
Oh, did you really?
It wasn't crumb, though. It was just grilled. Wow. It was lovely.
Crumb John Dory. Oh, it's not often I agree with you, but on this occasion, I do agree with you. Oh, I don't know why Johnny's $3, to be honest with you. I think it's a crazily short price. And that race that we just saw then, they went very slow in front as well. Going from 1,600 to 1,800 metres, I'm against John Dory. I'm against John Dory in the race, and I'm against John Dory at the price, of course, as well. So where does it lead me? It leads me to two horses. The toppy Tambola. Tambola was a little wide last start at Rose Hill over 1,500 metres, and I think Johnny's not suited going to 1,800 metres. I think Tambola is suited to going to 1,800 metres. I think $5 a fair price, about it. And the other horse that I could definitely be on is number three, Mateus, who's had five starts for one win and 2 seconds. Now, interestingly enough, its second last start was against John Dory, and Johnny only beat Mateus by 3/4 of a length. So I'm not quite sure why the price difference of $9 against $3 is so big. I think $9 is a good price. Last start for Mateus, one up at Newcastle, a very weak maiden, but got on the board, so got the maiden out of the way. So those are the two for me. Not officials, but numbers one and three, I think, are good value.
Fizzer, why is John Dory so short, mate?
John Dory is short because Waller trains it.
Yeah.
That's the
really?
Only, oh, it's the only thing I can see why John Dory's $3. But anyway, I'm with Kings. Tambola for me. He might have said the wrong name there, Kings, but he was rumbling, so I let him do it.
Yeah.
Tambola looks the one to beat. Looks to me like the 1,500 first up. She had a little spell between runs there when it ran third in the midway in Sydney. Looked to me like it wanted further in that race. Looked like the 1,500 was like a tad short. Tambola was hitting the lines quite strong in that race in Sydney after sort of doing a little bit tough in the run, not too hard. But, yeah, I think more on upside there. The distance, 1,800, looks perfect for Tambola. John Dory had the suckest run of all time in that race. Couldn't get the job done against a horse that's now $10 against it. Was as strong through the line, Nightline, as what John Dory was. So, for me, I'm a little bit confused. The only thing is John Dory gets a very similar run in this race, and that's another thing. It's not like it drew out wide. Nightline has drawn wide, so maybe that's the little bit of discrepancy in the price there. But, look, this looks a really average sort of race to me. It's very hard to know with these horses going up to 1,800. A lot of them have won a maiden last start, coming out of pretty weak races. It's a bit rich just calling this a Group 3, I reckon. I'm not sure these horses really deserve that status right now, but anyway. Sure. Tambola, I backed it. Backed it this morning. Mateus, third pick. Bird Whistle, the next pick, with no confidence. But, yeah, Tambola looks
they're very even on ratings, a lot of these horses. They're all around that 80 mark, and they're all sort of – there's nothing really gone over that. To me, it's what do you think is going to improve the most over 1,800 metres?
Yeah, well, Kristen Brew Cannon obviously had some sort of a opinion of this horse because it went in the Spring Champions or something like that. It was a 2,000-metre race, starts back or whatever. So, like – Tambola definitely on the class side of things, definitely has them on class so far for what they've raced in.
Tambola.
Tambola. John Dory was 220 when they first went up, so it's drifting out.
Probably, yeah, we'll see.
Imagine it's going to get
on $4 each way.
Let's move to another race for the 3 yards, the Gold Edition. Who remembers Gold Edition? She was a great mare, wasn't she?
On Pacer?
To us. We backed it a lot of times.
Yeah, well, it must have been 15 years ago. So this is a great race for the three-year-old sprinters. It took a bit of a dive early in the week because Cool Archie was going to be in it. I was really excited to see Cool Archie come back, but there's been some dramas there. They're saying that he might never race again.
Oh, really?
That's a real shame. But let's go and have a look at Grafter Burners in the Pierrata Plate. So this is sort of similar scenario to the last race we watched. So there's Damien on the inside.
Damo.
And Grafter Burners gets into its work and does win. But if we bring the market up, there's Ninja up the fence, isn't it? We were all tipping it that time.
Mm-hmm.
So let's bring the market up and let's have a look at the discrepancy between Grafter Burners and Damien. Once again, is that too big a discrepancy after what we just saw in the last race?
Not really. Damien's the sort of horse that needs a lot of luck, I think, often. Grafter Burners is the sort of horse now that races on pace and really puts itself into the race and all. It seems to just have that half length to a length, I think. Two things I think about this race. One is from a what do I think will win perspective, and I think that's Grafter Burners. But yep. I think Grafter Burners will ease out in the market a little bit, but definitely clear top pick and well-deserved favourite. And anything I think 250 would be a good price. The horse that I think's value in the race is Prestar.
Prestar,
number five.
Mm-hmm.
Two good trials. First up, just looks really well placed. I think $8 is a good price about it. Barrier 11's a little bit tricky, but it'll get across, and only 1,200. Eagle Farm, you can often sit off pace and charge down the middle. So those were my two numbers, one and five.
Thank you, sir. What do you got to add, Fizz?
Unbelievable. He's picking the same ones as me. Look, Grafter Burners, good. The difference between this race compared to last time, Rich, is Grafter Burners draws one, had to work from a wider gate to get into position outside the lead. Outside the lead last start, whereas Damien had an inside barrier and sat third fence and had every chance to beat Grafter Burners. I think that'll be a different scenario this week. So, and you got to remember Grafter Burners started heavily backed favourite. I think it was evens to about $1.60 that day.
Off the map.
So those sorts of things all sort of play into the price, I'd say. And I think Grafter Burners are definitely the one to beat. Barrier one, soft run again. Hard to see how it gets beat. Prestar, only danger. I backed it this morning. I do think that's crazy odds for a horse that trialled really nicely and brings a different form line to the race. And, yeah, so for me, Prestar, big price, $8. Grafter Burners, not sure it'll get out Kings. I honestly think that it might be a good price at $2.25. Icarian Dream is my next pick. Number 10, Kieran Maher has to do a little bit of work from a wider gate, but, yeah, Icarian Dream is my next pick. But, yeah, I back Prestar. I'm going to back Grafter Burners as well.
You mentioned that Grafter Burners was really well backed last start, and it's a great point as well if you're looking for early bets to look at the fluctuations of last start. Those horses that are off the map and found, you know, by the big guys, they're often found again because they've got high, you know, high ratings or high sectionals or, you know, sit on pace and all that sort of stuff. So that's a really, really good point, Fitz.
Yep.
Very good. Let's move to Loft Knee. The oldest sprint is a 1,300-metre race. We're going to go and watch Accredited in the festival down in Sydney. There's Accredited in the Joe Pride colours. So he runs fourth here. Of course, Yorkshire wins this race. Yorkshire goes on to win the Ingham last week and is in talks as a contender for the Doncaster next year. So we're dealing with some pretty good form lines. Accredited will be favourite, but we've got Rothfire in the race. Rothfire is the best horse in the race, but seems like the market hasn't quite found. Of course, Rothfire won the Sydney Stakes, which is the Everest Consolation. There it is. Take it away, King Zone.
What a great horse Rothfire's been. Over $4 million in prize money.
Mm.
Now an 8-year-old and still going around in these sort of races and being extremely competitive. Hasn't raced for 7 weeks, Rothfire. 8-year-old getting on probably a little bit against, I can definitely win, but just a little bit against Rothfire. I do like this setup with Accredited. I think that that run that we just saw then and behind Yorkshire with 1,500, I think back to 1,300 really suits. Drawn barrier one. There's not a great deal of pace in this race, so I expect Accredited to be in sort of the first, either lead or sit third fence. I think definitely Accredited is the horse to beat. I thought Rock Ribbed, if it goes forward, so it went forward last start, normally goes back, but it went forward last start, drawn a bit. What barriers it got? 11. Yeah, I think Ryan Maloney needs to go forward, and if he does, it puts itself into the race. It was a decent price. So my numbers in this are this would be six from 2 and 1.
Love
officially
it.
6-2-1.
Fizzar.
Nearly a Saturday set tip Accredited. Just missed out. Just missed out. Backed it this morning. Think it's the one to beat. 1,500 back to 1,300. Joe Pride. He loves that little drop in distance when he takes him away from home. Joe Pride's very good. You know,
yeah, down he's to so Melbourne airborne at the moment,
or
isn't he?
Up to Queensland. He is airborne. He's barrier one, everything King said on speed.
We've agreed every race.
Looks a great bet. I'm happy to be on it. I thought the danger was the three, Orton. Thought there was a bit of value there at around the $10 mark. I don't know what to make of Rothfire. I'm a little bit confused. There's no trial. There's no public jump out that I've seen. So 7 weeks off. Rothfire's never been placed. Sorry, been placed once over 1,300 in its career.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Another thing that's sort of steering me away from Rothfire. But you know what? It's a quality horse. So it's very hard to gauge. Top trainer as well. So hard to know what to do there. But yeah, I had Animacor the next pick after that, which is a $15 chance. So look, accredited.
Neither of us mentioned
a good bet to me.
Neither of us mentioned Tavs.
It was flying Tavs like before its seventh last start. So interesting to see. It's a good horse, Tavs. On its day, very good horse.
Very good. I'm going to get your Saturday sets in a second, but I've just got to make note that we have another Mates Mo pot, the last for the year. It's on the Greyhounds. JC and Troy Little will help me out with it. You helped me get the job done on Sunday on the last Hong Kong pot we did.
Yes.
That $10 horse that we backed made all the difference.
Yeah, beauty. We took early on too, so the pressure really came off.
It did. It was nice. I could just sit back and just relax. So this will be the last Mates Mode pot for the year. It's always a lot of fun. Come get involved if you want. Up the Den 25 is the code if you want to go and punch it into the Ladbrokes app. With that out of the way, King Zone, Saturday set time.
The official Saturday set tips for the last time in 2025 read like this. Randwick Race 9, number 11, Alabama Fox, I think is around the $4.80 price range, which I think is fantastic. Mm-hmm. First up, good trial, lightly raced, plenty of ability, on pace, down in weight. Tick, 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 $4.80 I think will start shorter. Eagle Farm, let's get up north. Eagle Farm, race 3, number 10, Ultimatum. McAvoy's taking this horse up to Queensland, which I think is a very, very good sign. Goes up there with good Queensland, good Victorian form, and also has had a trial freshen up up there as well, which I really like. I think 460. Ladbrokes are really leading the way with this horse. 460. Everyone else is 380. So I'd love to jump in to the 460 there. If you're running a Mates Mode pot for that, you'd be all over it. And then we go over to Murray Bridge, which is the main Adelaide meeting on Saturday. Race 4, the 8, Beauty Rising. Looks to have most improvement to me in this field and ready to peak. Third up is around the $2.80 chance. Price range, which I think is a good price as well. So back all of those early. Get on, get set.
Love it.
Put your feet up and enjoy your Saturday.
Unreal. Fizz.
No worries. Yeah, my first bet's in Caulfield. Race 4, number 9, Canobolas. Just an up-and-comer. Looks short enough, but looks the goods to me this weekend. And then we go to Caulfield, race 9, number 1, Beast Mode. Beast Mode let us all down last start, but I think back to the 1,000 metres around Caulfield, different kettle of fish.
Different
we know
gravy.
The 1,100 was the hurt job for Beast
the last 100 hurt, didn't it, last time?
Yeah, and then so I think this time back to the – and it's trialled in between, and the trial was quite nice. Happy with that. Then we go to Murray Bridge, race 3, number 6, this horse, Arcandam. Bowman's taking this from Victoria over to South Australia. I like the trial, and I think there's a bit of value in a quite a small field. A $7.50 looks pretty generous to me. And then one more at Murray Bridge, race 8, number 1, Enough Seduction. There's enough speed in this race. This horse did it the hard way on a leader's bias last time at 1. Caitlin Turtle, she takes a couple of kilos off, and I think it'll be very hard to beat again this weekend. That's my 4 Saturday set tips for the last Saturday set for a while.
Now, King Zone.
Yes.
We've moved into the pubs, moved into the
world. Yeah,
of
very
pubs.
Exciting.
Here
yes.
it is. Let's have a look at the screen. So we're in the pub.
Look at my lemon spread there with my King Zone floppy on. But yeah, no, this is really exciting. So we're in 3 pubs at the moment. The Oakdown at Double Bay, the Gregory Hills, and also the Henry, one of the famous pubs out Blue Mountains, Katoomba Way. So what that means is that the King Zone are up on the screen and it's absolutely free. So get in there. I'm actually going to be down at the Oak on the 27th, the Oak at Double Bay on the 27th, having a few beers. How good is a schnitty, a Palmer, a beer on a Saturday and having a punt?
Unreal.
We don't do it that much, but I've done it a bit the last sort of 2 months.
Two
yeah,
I loved it. It was so
but
good.
How good is
yeah.
it? Just sitting in the pub and having a beer and something to eat.
The food at the Royal Oak was 10 out of 10.
The steak sandwich was 12 out of 10.
I know, steak sandwich was the best steak sandwich I've ever had.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But, yeah, no, that's exciting. So if you're in there, hit your local publican up and get in touch with me and we'll try and get in a pub near you as well. So we're going to expand. That screen's going to be polluted with pubs.
Everywhere.
So it's all free.
All
it's
like
free
eastern
stuff.
And western free. Seaboards. Excellent. All right, we're going to let you go soon, Fizz, but because we've got a special guest coming, which should be good. But just wrapping up, so accountability, let's finish the year off. So,
yes,
boys, you've done incredibly well over the year. It hasn't been great the last few weeks, but there's been so many great tips over the year. And I think the thing that I noticed too was those really big races across the year, there was some real highlights across those big feature races. So
Autumn Boy was my highlight, I think, in the Caulfield Guineas, and also Pride of Jenny when I got Jenny home.
Yeah, that was good.
Because I kept being against Jenny, and then I went with Jenny when she knocked off Treasure the Moment. Yeah. Those were my two highlights. But, yeah, well done, Fitz. 18% for both of us. And, it's great. So you're saying we're going to restart. So that's from the 9th to the 3rd.
That's more than 18 months old. So we're going to wipe the slate clean, start fresh because – you know, we can't just keep going from way back more than 18 months ago. So we'll wipe the slate clean in 2026. And that'll be the next Saturday set. We're going to do one for Magic Millions Day. Then we'll take another month off. And then we'll start again around the 5th of February, something like that.
Hey, cool.
So, Fizz, you are officially excused until the 5th of February. Thank you very much, mate.
No worries.
We know you're busy and we appreciate what you do. Everyone enjoys your analysis and whatnot.
Very good.
You're on your way. Have a good Christmas.
See you, boys.
All right, King Zone, time to welcome in our special guest, Mr. Benny Scarfe. How are you, mate?
Very good. Good to be here.
Good to have
special
you in
guest.
Here.
Thank you.
Very special guest. We don't have many guests on the Saturday set. Yeah, so, last one we had was Blogsy. Part of the reason I was inspired to get you in is because we had Blogsy on and people really enjoyed it. And I thought, well, it'd be good to follow it up with Australia's biggest influence in racing.
Well,
you so.
How does it feel to be called Australia's biggest influencer? Does that put a tingle down your spine?
I've never been called until now. So thank you.
Pleasure.
I like it. I'm gonna roll with it. Maybe I'll put that in my bio. Actually, Rich. I will. I'll give you trademark.
By RI Racing.
I'll say, I will. Yeah.
Now I thought a good place to start. So when Kings and I started out the track, like 25, 30 years ago, your old man was one of the more significant pro punters out there.
Correct.
We had a little bit to do with him. I hope he remembers us. I used to drive him home from the track a bit. Yeah,
you said.
I would have been younger than you when I was doing. Occasionally, I remember a couple of times from Warwick Farm and places like that.
Yeah, cool.
So it's an interesting topic to talk about. So how much was punting involved in your life growing up?
Weirdly, quite minimally.
Yeah.
Quite not much at all.
Because your dad had sort of tapped out by then, hadn't he?
He didn't. Sounds bizarre. He had no interest in racing ever.
Just numbers.
I know he remembers one horse, Fred's Love in 1977.
Yeah.
It's the only one he remembers because it was incorrect weight.
Right. So the races weren't on at home,
and
you weren't.
Give a shit. He could not care less.
That's the way you got to be.
He doesn't watch the Melbourne Cup. He hasn't watched the Melbourne Cup since 2000, since he quit.
Yeah.
I just find it bizarre.
He hasn't bet at all now.
Not on racing. No.
And do you know why he quit back in the day?
He lost his edge pretty much. Yeah, he lost his edge to Jelko.
Okay. Right. So it's pretty
black and white. That's about it.
Yeah, right. So Jelko, that's when Jelko really took over. Interesting.
Yeah. Topol's just completely,
He doesn't bet racing. Does he bet on cards or?
He bets on golf massively.
Oh, yeah, great.
Golf's his thing.
Yeah.
Politics. It's about it, really.
Yeah. And how's he been with your rise to what you're doing?
Yeah, he likes it. Yeah. Yeah, he loves it. Well, he loves a bit of a bit of entrepreneurial spirit. He likes that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's stoked.
And so one of the topics I want to talk to you about, which your dad might like, is the art of not giving a fuck. And because that's what you do, and like Blogsy's a bit like that as well. Mm. And like I'm, you know, obviously quite involved in the social media world. I watch a lot of stuff.
Of course.
And the people who get the most traction and most successful are the ones who just don't give a fuck.
Well, authenticity.
Yeah. Mm. And so that has been, was that deliberate by you right from the start, or were you just like, it was just natural to be yourself and you don't really give a fuck what people think of you? Is that...
It needs to be a bit natural, doesn't it? Like you definitely get better at it. Like as you've done doing this podcast, I'm sure.
Mm. Yes,
where
for sure.
You go, like you're a bit nervous at the start and then you just post it anyway.
Yeah.
And then you can't help but get better. You have to get better.
Yeah.
How could you not?
Yeah.
So that's part. Like I always had a little bit of in me, and like I'm just gonna do whatever. And if you're gonna watch. If you're not, don't. I don't care. I'm just gonna do it.
Yeah.
But I care far less than day one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to.
Do the comments, because you cop a fair bit.
Yeah.
Do the comments get to you at all? Because a lot of people look like they don't give a fuck, but sometimes they do.
For sure.
Do the comments get to you? No.
I prefer it. All it is a reminder that you're relevant.
Yeah.
The worst thing is when they stop commenting hate. That's when you know you've lost your edge.
Yeah.
So it drives you a bit, yeah?
Fuck yeah, it does.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
have you ever doubted, like on this whole journey, has there ever been a time when you've been like, I'm not enjoying this anymore, or this is too much?
Yeah, of course. But the only time I really care about a comment is someone says, this is getting boring.
Right.
That's if someone says, yeah, fuck you, I'm like, sweet, like, let's keep going. I'm doing something right. If you're not getting any hate, you're probably not doing anything meaningful.
Yeah.
So it's like Blogsy, what's he doing wrong?
Yeah, like, nothing. Like,
all the English shit.
Yeah, they just, yeah.
What's he doing wrong? All it is, it's, but he's, exactly, he's not.
Yeah.
All it is a reminder that he's doing something worth watching.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they wouldn't comment.
True.
And in one of your podcasts, I heard you talking about like a bit of government intervention in the sense that they were basically saying, is it right that we're normalizing betting big, right?
Yeah.
And you were sort of saying that it wasn't completely directed at you, but you're basically saying they were directing it at you.
Yeah.
And that kind of annoyed me a bit because I was like, you can bet as big as you want as long as people understand that.
Well, define
it comes
big.
With a lot of risk. Well, exactly. What's big? Is having 10,000 well, bigger or is having 100,000 bigger or having $100?
Exactly. Let's say someone loses $100,000 a year, you might say, well, that's ridiculous. How could someone lose that much? But like, what if they were worth $1 billion?
Yeah.
He's lost like really nothing. But you say, what if someone lost $1,000, but he's worth $1,200? That's far worse.
Mm.
So it's all, yeah, exactly. It's all relative.
And were they ever close to shutting you down, or was it never that?
They couldn't
personal?
Find anything to do it. Like,
yeah,
it's not illegal.
But did they actually like? Did they contact you and say?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
oh yeah.
So, and it
was, yeah, I love a subpoena. I'll bring it on.
Yeah,
like,
right.
They're like white noise to me now. I'm like, yeah, right. This.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. They look. If they could, I'm sure they would. But yeah, you know, I'm get watched like a hawk these days.
Is that because you're encouraging gambling? Is that what the main thing is? Is that sort of
probably
why? Yeah,
probably.
And but that's good. Like, good to encourage gambling.
Well,
like
it comes to my back to my point of like. Good for racing, right? All the talk is and all the discussion is about good for racing. Who's good for racing? How can you be good for racing? Good for racing to me is if you're improving turnover. You can't improve racing without promoting gambling. Because let's not lie to each other. It's strongly correlated.
Oh,
you can't really grow racing without growing gambling, which in turn must to some extent grow problem gambling to some extent.
Sure.
So you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
So do you view what you're doing is as pure entertainment? That's why you're doing is pure entertainment.
Sure.
You're not trying to you obviously want to tip winners and blah blah blah. But what you the number one priority what you're doing is to
for
be entertaining.
Sure.
Yeah. If you're going to go into gambling being like I'm going to make generational wealth, well, it's a recipe for disaster, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, very very few people can do it, but
that's right.
It is possible. Yeah. Yeah. And I met you once down the Oak down in Double Bay and we were sort of chatting away and I said, this is probably about a year ago. And I was oh, you know, you're doing well because you're talented. And you were like, I'm not talented. And do you still feel that way? Or were you just saying that to me?
No, I think, I think there are so many people who are equally as talented who just don't pull the trigger.
Sure.
That's what I think.
And that comes back to the art of not giving a fuck.
Who just continue to, I don't think
most
I'm much
people
more
don't pull the trigger.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. When really like, look at my first video. It sucks. Like, I look like I have no idea what I'm doing because I don't have any idea what I'm doing. The only difference between me and Joe Blogs is because I just started. That's the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't think I'm like overly talented. I'm just different in the fact that I decided to shut up and stop talking about stuff and do it.
Mm. So have you got plans to do sort of more? Have you got like a vision of where you sort of want to take it, or it's just you're just going to keep rolling over doing the same
thing?
Yeah,
I'm launching my affiliate in the UK. As soon as possible, like I'm still waiting on a few things.
Yep,
which will be harder to pull off.
Do you have any traction over there?
Yeah. I think 20% of my audience.
Yep,
is UK. Right. That's my plan. I guess long term plan.
Yeah. What about USA?
Yeah, I've tried it. Admittedly, not very hard.
Yeah,
but it's very difficult. Well, there's no racing base whatsoever, so you're relying purely on sport, and my sport content sucks.
Yep.
But like, just get better. I don't know.
Sure.
I got lazy with it, but
yeah. So this is Ben Scarf's a brand and you're going on with it.
Yeah,
and
that's
you're
the plan.
Enjoying it. And yeah.
Yeah, that's the plan.
It's a good lifestyle. It's going.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And just sort of to wrap up, like, is it important to you that you end up winning with this current sort of thing you're doing where you're 5 cents?
I'll win.
Yeah. And but is it important? I mean, it seems like the way you're saying to me, I'll win. Like
you
need to win. Okay. So you need
will
to
win.
Eventually. You got to turn this around. And you like because you what was your worst? You got down to like 150 or something?
More like 170, 180.
Okay, where are we at the moment?
Like, well, Glory is about to win in race two at Gosford.
Yeah.
So after that it'll be like 70.
Okay, so you seem pretty confident, which is great. I'm the same when Rich says to me, I'm always like exactly the same. No, I'll win, I'll find a way.
No, you don't.
So you're working pretty hard behind the scenes sort of to you know, 100%. For your own selections.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. That's good. It's good. Good to hear. Good
yeah,
to hear.
Absolutely.
So we're gonna go now and have some lunch and watch a bit of Ashes cricket, which I'm sure you'll be pigging shit with.
Yep.
But does it frustrate you that you don't that the Australian selectors won't pick you for the
I'm just saying, test team? You know, Australia's been pretty short of openers for the last 10 years or so. I don't know.
And so what, because you've got a big
score,
I've
been score, available, right? I'm just saying.
What was your big score?
138, like, actually. Yeah,
138.
About 60, 70 pills or so.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And what was that? What level was that?
Oh, I think it was first grade. Yeah, down at Coogee Oval, yeah. Well,
first grade?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Right. Do you want to say anything to George Bailey down the camera?
No, or? he knows. He's got the number.
And you're on the Aussies, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Very good. Very
take the shorts.
Yeah.
I've laid them again like an idiot. They were number for 30 when I walked out and then came in to do the Saturday set. Now they're four down again.
No good.
Classic English, just crumbling.
Well, mate, thank you for coming in. Let's go and have some beers and have something to eat. And it'll be good to watch some cricket. And Kings, we're going to sign off, mate. We should say a few thank yous.
Yeah, well, thank you for a start.
Sure, yep.
And then you take all the other thank yous. So I'm thanking you and you thank everyone else.
A lot of support. Who we got to thank? We've got to thank Ladbrokes. We've got to thank Racing Victoria, Racing.com, Racing Queensland. Thanks to Trill Mitt, editor over there, does a fantastic job.
Thank you to everyone for watching.
And most importantly, thank you for everyone for watching. Very humbling that you guys take time to watch us each week. We'll come back bigger and better in 2026. Everyone have a very safe and happy holiday period. Up the Den, see you next year.
Imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.